Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded. Exodus 12 and verse 11. Your shoes in your feet, your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the second reading, please, is in Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live, multiply, win, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We're reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8, now verse number 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Now over, please, to Ruth, the last chapter of Ruth's little book, chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. And verse 1. Ruth 4 and verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gates and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and to whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here. And he sat down. He said unto the kinsman, The Omite that is come again over the country of Moab sell the parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon her inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner aforetime in Israel concerning redeeming, concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was the testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And just first, Luke chapter 15, I know I'm not going to get this far, but just to show you the connection of what I have in my thinking this afternoon, Luke chapter 15. We're reading in Luke 15 and verse number 20. And he arose, that is, the prodigal, he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, put a ring in his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now this morning, not that I expected you to be here, but we were considering a little just in a word of ministry of the feet of the priest, as we have it in Joshua chapter 3. This afternoon, not really to follow that up, but I want to think of what we put on our feet. I'd like to speak this afternoon with help from God a little on spiritual footwear. The importance of what God's people had upon their feet and the significance in which it was used. Just so that you could remember it, that in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 11, it is a commandment. The spiritual footwear that is given is a commandment. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded in, with your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. It is the Lord's Passover, ye shall eat it in haste, for the Lord will pass through the land this night. It is a commandment. Then we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where God reminds his people that he had shod their feet, that he had given them shoes. And he says to them, he says, your raiment did not wax old. He says, your feet did not swell. So there it is, spiritual comfort. First of all, it is commandment. Here it is comfort. God is interested, dear child of God. He is interested in your comfort in the pilgrim pathway. Then we read in Ruth chapter 4 of the trip of the kinsman redeemer, the drawing off of the shoe in that order that was given to the rightful redeemer as he would make the purchase of the land upon which the shoe would trod. Very obvious there. It has to do with commitment. And then in Luke chapter 15, obviously it's compassion. The father providing the shoes for the boy that had come home from the far country. I have thought that in Exodus chapter 12, it is interesting with all the things that are taking place. It was a busy night. There were a lot of things that were happening. A lot of things that happened. A lot to look forward to. What is the significance that so early in their experience, God is reminding them that they're going to enjoy what they're eating with their shoes on? Wouldn't that be a time just kind of to sit back and relax after all? The provision has been made. Now we can enjoy the roast lamb and get on with our lives. I would suggest to you, particularly young believers this afternoon, that if you don't get right spiritual footwear at the commencement of your Christian experience, it's very unlikely that you'll get it on later on. And just as you move through the study in itself, just moving through, you would find it's interesting how the feet of people were affected and what it caused. So it's important that we have right spiritual footwear in our Christian experience, not only because of what our feet are called upon us to do, but it has to do with the path in which we are walking. You will remember that I think it is in Ezekiel chapter 16 where God says to the prophet, I shod you, he said, with badger skins. And then, of course, when we come to the truth of the tabernacle in chapter 16 here, we're reminded that above were the badger skins. So the place in which they worshipped and what they wore were the same material. So in other words, their walk was in keeping with the place that they worshipped. But more than that, before that footwear could become theirs, there had to be a death. In fact, there's a death in every one of these chapters, I was just thinking. First of all, it's the death of the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is the death of the badger, the animal that would provide the skin for the footwear. And then in Ruth chapter 4, of course, it was the death of the one who could not hold the lamb. And then the last is the death of the fatted calf. So there's a picture of death. But more than that, as I think of that Hebrew as he would move and make his way for God in testimony, shod with badger skins, what separated him and that desert floor always was a death. In other words, there was a death that came in between him and contact with the path that he was taking to a sea that could defile him. And dear child of God, to give that a spiritual application this afternoon, that's something that I've got to constantly keep before me, is that what separates me from the world out there, what will cause me to leave a right imprint in testimony for God, is right footwear, something that is associated, something that would remind me of the death of someone else who's provided the path in which I walk. You know, sometimes, as these people did so easily, they were to forget those commandments, so easily they would get out of the way, so easily they would forget that God had made a provision for them. But I want to come to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, they are told to remember various things. You could go through that chapter. Very clearly, it tells you things they were to remember. They were to remember, first of all, the pathway. Okay? They were to remember the provision that God had made for them. They were to remember the power by which he had delivered them. But they were people that were so soon to forget. They were complaining. They thought the path was rough. They thought it was too hard. He said, listen, your raiment didn't wax old. He says, thy foot did not swell. In other words, what I give you, what I shoes you with, what I put you in was something of comfort. I think that maybe, in fact, I should write an article in your paper here just since even being out here, that I guess we should have known it years ago. You certainly would know it, I think, in the assemblies with people that were in the footwear business. But they are coming up more and more with the comfort of the feet as it is linked with the health of the person. Seems to be more emphasis that's put on that than there was years ago. I can remember seeing people older than I, wearing these Nikes or Nike, whatever way you want to pronounce it, shoes, and I used to think, hey, what are they trying to do? Is this kind of a roll back in age, wearing these white shoes? You know, I remember seeing a lady, in fact, she's actually now married to my father-in-law, my stepmother, and my wife's stepmother, and I used to think, what is this? And then I went over to Newfoundland. My son-in-law and our daughter lived in St. John's, Newfoundland for a while. I forgot to take casual shoes with me. I said, look, he said, the only thing I got down there is those Nikes. I said, those white things? Yeah, he says, they're white. So I wore them. Wow, I only had those on for about 2 hours, and I thought, hey, this is why people wear these things. They're comfortable. Guess who was down at the shoe store buying Nikes that afternoon? Yeah, you're looking at it. Because it was so comfortable. You see, it wasn't until I put my feet in those shoes, I realized, man, these things are so comfortable. You suddenly forgot about where you were going. The tiredness and all that was associated with it. God is reminding these people here of the pathway and the comfort of it. Well, listen, let me speak to you this afternoon. How are you making out in the path? Am I speaking to some here and your feet are hurting? You feel too cramped? You feel that the way in which your quote, the term used, the brethren want you to live, the brethren want you to walk, is just too circumnavigated, that it's too tight, that it's pinching the desires that you really have, when the truth of it is this, that it is coming from the Word of God. You know, when I think of a man that had disease or problems with his feet, I think of a king. I think of King Asa. Man started off very good. Because it says he was mightily used of the Lord, mightily helped of the Lord. You know, the first downfall in Asa's experience? I mean, maybe you can see something slipping before I can. That wouldn't necessarily be too hard. But really, the first indication that something was wrong was when that seer, Hanani, came to him and he said, concerning his soliciting of help from Syria instead of relying on the Lord, he said, thou doest not well. He said, thou doest not well. Thou dost look to the Lord thy God, and now thou hast sought his help. And you know exactly what that king did? He took that seer, and he put him in a prison. You know, there's a great danger when a man can't handle reproof. You know what he's actually saying? That I actually idolize my own judgment. I idolize my own decision. I make my own life. And from then on, that king's experience took a downhill slide. Until, it says this, the Asa, King Asa, was diseased greatly in his feet. And it says this, did he seek unto the Lord yet? No. It says that he sought physicians. Now, if you look back, you'll find that Asa's name means physician. So here's a physician seeking the physician. You know what he's really still looking for, looking to? Was himself. A man diseased in his feet. You know, and again, I don't want to sound too, you'll know that I don't have a lot of experience in a lot of medical lines, but I do know this much. That, and simply because Dr. Kirk Peterson, whose boy David has worked with me in the gospel, and who used to live in St. Thomas, Dr. Kirk himself, is a foot doctor. And the greatest problem in the feet usually is circulation. And that problem is traced to the heart. So when a man's heart isn't right, it's going to affect his feet. So when a person's having problems with the path, when there is not the comfort in the feet, that can be traced to the heart. And as the old saying goes, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. When there isn't that circulation, when there isn't that heart warmness, when there isn't that affection for the person of Christ, when there isn't appreciation for his death for me, and when no longer if you'll allow the badger skin shoes are not comfortable. They started off this way. God made for, and he reminds them, your feet didn't swell in them. In other words, dear child of God, understand it, that God is, you know, some of us have an idea. I don't know where we get that. Now, I have got to go through life almost looking like I was, like Archie Stewart used to say, baptized in lemon juice. Brethren and sisters, for any sake, there are some that have had a rougher path than others, and I'm not putting that down. There are some that have to live under tremendous, severe circumstances that I know nothing about. But God is interested in our comfort. God brings us through trials, but ultimately he is interested that in our Christian experience, we're going to be comfortable with it, because it affects our testimony. It comes out. And so often we can trace it. So often we can trace the difficulty to not allowing the death of Christ to affect my life like it should. And that there is no longer that death that separates me from the world. A Savior that has died for me is no longer that power, that motivating factor that can say nay to the world. How about you this afternoon? Happy with the path, brethren? Sisters, happy with it today? Quite content in God's assembly? It shows itself. You can't hide it. You can pretend that you are and go all through the motions of it. God knows our heart. And it will soon come out in our speech. And so let us be reminded that what God reminded these people of, thy feet did not swell. Thy raiment did not wax old. Now when we come to Ruth chapter 4, I'll go through these quickly because we've just got a few minutes we can put them down in. It has to do with commitment. Commitment. You know, we're living in a world that is very, very non-committal. That's why if you went to rent a car today, there's never a time when you sign more carbon copies of responsibility, because we live in a world that does not want to be committed to anything. Oh, certain things they don't mind. But when it comes to laws and documents that we might sign, they draw back from that. A man doesn't want to be committed to certain things. A very non-committed age. Listen, survival in Christian experience, survival in testimony, will take nothing less than 100% commitment. Commitment to it. So many examples of that, which I don't have the time to go into. 2 Timothy chapter 4 basically is what the apostle is telling Timothy as he's laying down a pen for the last time. You're going to make it? You'll be committed. Not committed? You'll make it. But I'm sure there isn't one here today. With testimony as many years behind as it is, and the Lord's coming so near, I'm sure there is none that have taken the time and the effort to be with us this afternoon that doesn't want to end or finish their Christian experience happy in the path. My, how it is, how nice it is to see dear believers that have gone home to glory. When it comes to the end of the road, they were happy in it. No one had any reservation or hesitation when it comes to the funeral or to the final respects that are paid, because that pathway was one of such clear testimony, they're happy. That didn't mean they always had an easy path. You see, there's nothing suggesting here that the path is always easy, but he will equip us for the journey. Ruth chapter 4, of course, is the beautiful picture of the law, what it could not do. Speaking of this man that could not, he says, I cannot redeem it unless I mar my own inheritance. I think we understand that the shoe is that which trod upon the land, and to draw it off, really, and to pass it to another would indicate that all claims of this land are being passed to someone else. And so as a result, Boaz stands back. I would take that as a picture of the law. I know there's different ways that Ruth chapter 4 can be taken, but the law cannot redeem. The law could not bring them into the blessing that God had for them. So the order was is that the shoe would be taken off, and that the man that would step in those shoes symbolically would assume the responsibility of all that went with the land. Don't thank God today. There is one who stepped into our shoes in guilt. There's one who took our place at Calvary. Interesting that this is done before 10 elders. What a beautiful picture of the 10 commandments. Before the 10 elders. As Ruth stood that day, her eyes weren't transfixed, and those 10 elders were the men of the city. Her eyes were on the man, Boaz. Would he redeem or will he not? Will he pay the price? Does he have the resources? Will he do it? Will he commit himself to it? Why, that must have been a happy moment. And she saw, here's a man that will totally commit himself to me being brought into this family. Brethren and sisters, we are what we are today because there was one who was committed to our cause. That's the one that we remember this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how we're making out when it comes committed to him. Let me touch on Luke chapter 15. I think it's important. It has to do with compassion. You notice that when this boy comes home from the far country, he does not now decide what he is going to wear as far as attire goes in the father's house. The father's going to decide that. In other words, what fit and supposedly, hopefully, clothed him in the far country was going to be left there. This boy is going to be fitted now with something that is in keeping with the house that he was coming into. Now, I know there are some and they just kind of draw back a little at the idea of almost think it's kind of a legal approach to think that there's kind of a dress code that goes with the gospel hall, per se, and as such there has been a real kind of a kick against that. I know a believer is a pilot for one of the airlines, one of the major airlines, and I know right well that he cannot step in the left seat of that jet with a total uniform, which is suit, tie, and everything. And yet when it comes to Lord's Day morning, he wants to come with less. Come on, brother. You know what it comes down to? It comes down to priorities. It comes down to absolute conviction. When this boy got back from the far country, first thing is he is given shoes. Shoes on his feet. I think that the robe in itself, the best robe that was put on him, didn't mail it to him in the far country, but the robe that was put on him would almost suggest that there was the end of the search. The coat of sleeves, the provision that's made the very best is put upon him, really signifying the search is over. This boy has come back. I would suggest that the shoes on his feet were an end of slavery. He was a slave in that far country. Talk about commitment in the far country. Be it the unsaved, or be it the child of God, as we have with Naomi, that turns and goes back to that far country. You do not go there without committing yourself to it. You know what it says concerning the prodigal? That he joined himself. Catch it? He joined himself to a citizen of that country. The world wants you committed. The world does not accept tourists. The world wants residents. Isn't that the story of Elimelech? The sad story in Ruth chapter 1? Isn't that the story of Lot? They took up residency in a place that they're only going to just visit for a little while. I don't know how long this boy had planned on in the far country, but I do know this, that when he left the father's house, I don't think he ever planned to come back. What a picture of grace. So the father says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The search is over. Has shoes on his feet. Slavery. Slavery is at an end. But more than that, it reminds him of the ring in his hand. That's an end of self. Why, there's a new association. There's a father that he's going to enjoy. And then he says, of course, the fatted calf and make merry. It was an end of their sadness. That boy went into the presence of the father in the father's house. He's a different looking boy than when he was in the far country. You know, I've heard people so often use the excuse, if you would, that, you know, it doesn't matter what's on the outward, it's just what's on the inward that counts. Listen, dear child of God, let me tell you, and there are men in the meeting with far more years of testimony and experience than I have. But clothes in the scripture speak of character. It's never changed. What the world wears today is to give an indication. It's making a statement. What I wear today and what you wear today reveals character. We can say it doesn't, we can gloss it over and hope we're hiding it, but it doesn't. It doesn't change that. God help us to know what it is to be our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Is there going to be? We're going to know what it is from commandment. That's Exodus chapter 12. We're going to know the comfort of it. Now, I can't speak to other people about their need of salvation if I'm not enjoying what I have, if they don't see me enjoying it. That doesn't mean I go around with a ridiculous smile on my face. Or just some joker in a crowd. But nobody else will want what I want unless they see the joy from it. There's two men, they both profess to be saved that live in the same town I used to live in. There's a man that's come out to golf meetings both Mr. Borzok and I have had, and other men in Sussex, this man's come up for years. George Sharp is still not saved. The barber is a saved, professes to be saved. I would think he's a likely saved man. I don't know that much about him. Another man in a little assembly not too far, doesn't live there now, lives in up in Ontario now. But he's in the barber shop one day. I wasn't there the day this happened. And this man I'm talking about, not saved, came in the barber shop, and he looked at the man in the chair. He looked at the man cutting his hair. He said, I suppose you both... Well, this happened. He said, imagine George Sharp, if he would know him, he's not afraid to say what he thinks. He says, you men are both going to heaven. Yeah, they said, yeah, he said, going to heaven. I mean, one's sitting there with a gown on the other, split the hair. Look, he said, if I was thinking of having what you men have, I would ask for something that would make me a little happier looking than either one of you are. He said, he said, what's wrong with you, man? Boy, they cracked a smile. They both broke. But, you know, it wasn't a lie of it. They went back just to the same old way. Oh, dear child of God. We're not trying to advertise in front of a silly world. But, oh, that we might reflect the joys that there is with salvation to let people know. Even though the path has not been easy at times, what he has put my feet into has been comfort. Comfort in him. Thy feet did not swell. Remember there's one whose feet were pierced for us at Calvary, who John said, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. He was the true kinsman redeemer. He was the true redeemer, the one who bought and paid the price. Compassion, Luke chapter 15. Oh, says the Father, bring forth. You know that's the truth of God's salvation, what God has done for us? It's been a constant bringing forth. God help us to keep in the path and to keep right forward.